I changed who I was and I sacrificed my beliefs, and all that did was land me in the backseat of a cop car. I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and today we're going to be talking about how to move from feeling to healing. And this is part one, identity and worth in Christ. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I quickly learned that scripture is not a band-aid. It is the ointment for the wound. I want to say that one more time. Scripture is not a bandage to cover the wound. Scripture is ointment for the wound. It was around 3 a.m. and it was dark. It was a street. It was a road that I've never been on before. And I was going back to the place that we were staying. I was the driver and we came up to this red light, I remember. And as I came up to this red light, I started to pause and then it turned green. And as I started to go, I saw the lights that nobody ever wants to see in their rearview mirror. I saw the red, the blue, and then the noise came. It was only a few seconds later that I'd be pulling into a gas station that was closed down for the night because it was 3 a.m. And one police car comes up, parks behind mine, while another two pull in as well. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? Why are there three police cars now pulled up behind my car? I see the police officer get out of his car. He comes to my side of the window and he holds his flashlight up and he knocks on it and he asks me to roll down my window. As I roll down my window, I notice him asking me to get out of the car. My window wasn't even fully down yet, but he's asking me, ma'am, please step out of the car. I step out of the car, I go behind my car, and he begins to ask me, how do you say the alphabet backwards? And if I'm being honest, I am just wanting to pass the test. I'm the designated driver. He's asking me to get out of the car. And here I am trying to pass and do right because I'm just one of those people that want to pass the test and want to do all the right things. And most of the time, I'm pretty much a rule follower. So I'm trying to think in the back of my, I'm trying to think in my head, how do I do this? How do I say the alphabet backwards? And then he goes on to, you know, ask me, well, okay, balance on one foot, touch your nose. And I start doing all these things with my body. And he says, okay, ma'am, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and sit in the backseat of my cop car. He walks me over, he opens the door, and there I sit in the dark as I watch him walk up to my car and walk up to the people that I was with as I sat there in the dark, beginning to question my whole life. I think we have these moments in our life that are very defining for us. And I can just remember thinking, what have I done? What led me to this point? Cop comes back to his car where I was sitting. He sits in his front seat and he's typing things on his computer. And he starts asking questions like, hey, you know, what are you doing here? What's going on? Why are you here? When are you returning? And I'm answering all these questions in a very formal way again. And shortly after, he asked me to get out of the car and he takes me out. And I finally sit in my driver's seat of my car and he walks back towards his. And I lost it. I started crying. It was then that I realized I was guilty by association. Maybe you've never ended up in the backseat of a cop car, but maybe you felt as though someone left you that you thought that cared about you. Perhaps you have felt the sting of being rejected by a friend or a family member. Maybe you have felt lost, like you're on an island all alone trying to figure out who you are. One of the most important things when it came to feeling to healing for me was I needed to figure out who he was to me, and I needed to figure out who we were together. That was important because it was that piece is the whole foundation. We can't move from feeling to healing if we don't know who God is, who he is to you, and who you guys are together. One of the first parts I want to talk about when it comes to knowing your identity in Christ is we have to know what we're giving our identity to, because what we worship, we become. If we worship other people's opinions, guess what? What they think of us, their opinions of us, we become. If I worship the world, I begin to look more like the world. I needed to learn who I was apart from anybody else. So I needed to recognize who I was giving my time, my attention, and my focus to. Exodus 23 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And that's a little g god. And we often have these little g gods in our life, maybe even idols in our life, that we become what we worship. I started to become the people I was around and the person I was dating. I was giving my identity to that person. I was allowing them to tell me who I was and whether or not I was good enough. And I want you to think of this in an analogy of strawberry and strawberry jam. Strawberry, a strawberry in its purest form, there's nothing added to it. It's just a strawberry, right? Besides maybe the soil it was grown in, it's just a strawberry. But when we think of strawberry jam, we think of, you know, sugar or salt or preservatives to make it last longer. So let's look at the salt, the preservatives, the sugar as opinions. It's that manufactured version of ourselves. But the strawberry in its purest form is our identity in Christ. Like, that is who we are. We don't have anything added. We don't have anything layered. We're not manufactured. The world is what manufactures us of what we allow it to. But we don't have to add sugar and salt and preservatives. We can just eat the strawberry. So number one is what are you giving your identity to? Number two is, who do you believe God is? And this is important because we have to define who God is to us. Do we believe he's a God that still punishes us for our sins? Do we believe that he's a God that's waiting to strike us down? Do we believe that he's an angry God, a punisher? Because who we believe God to be will directly impact our relationship with God. Our view of God dictates our relationship with God. We were made in his image. Genesis 1:27 talks about how we were made in his image. So we are image bearers of Christ. How I view God, therefore, directly impacts my image of myself. We can't escape the two. Our relationship with God, our view of God, dictates our relationship with God. We can't ignore the process of learning about who God is and how we view him ourselves, not how somebody else told him we should think about him, not anything else, but what and who do we believe God is? If we reduce God to our experiences, then we also reduce ourselves because we are image bearers. And I'll never forget this time. I was on an airplane and I was coming back from a trip with somebody that I was dating at the time. And I remember sitting in my window seat and I heard this question come to me, but who am I to you without him? And it stopped me in my tracks. Who am I? Like, who was God to me when I wasn't dating this person? If I wasn't with this person, how would I view God? Was I only in a relationship with God because I was in a relationship with this person? And that was such an important question for me because I had to begin to realize who God was to me apart from anybody else. And it's much like, you know, every time we pick up a lie about who God is, or we start to form in his, like, we start to create this image that is not of him, it's like adding bugs to our windshield. The more we add, the harder it is to see, right? Let's think about this for a minute when we have bugs on our windshield. One or two, it's going to be pretty easy to scrape off or ignore. You still have pretty clear vision. But the more of the bugs, which we're going to say are bugs, are lies, their pain, their trauma, when they start to add up pretty soon, our vision gets blurry. Just like if we're on an old country road, the bugs are going to pile up. And we know that Bugs do not come off with windshield wipers. They just smear. So we can't just ignore them or cover them up because they're just going to smear all over the place and overlap with one another. So all these lies that we try to carry and we try to process or we try to ignore, they just spread and cover more ground in your life. And pretty soon, as the lies start to pile up, we can no longer see clearly or see the truth because of the bugs. So no, do you have bugs on your windshield? Who do you believe God is? Number three is identity. This is about knowing who he is. This is so that, again, number one was what is stealing your identity? Number two is who do you believe God is for yourself? Number three is who is God? Like, who is he really? Not what you believe him to be, not what you feel he is, but who is God? His love, his character, his nature. And I think that this is important because when we know him, we know ourselves. We can't keep trying to figure out our identity without ever opening our Bibles and applying what those powerful pages have to say. I want us to think of this radio frequency. When we think about hearing God's voice, it's much like a radio transmitting a frequency. You might not hear exactly what's being said until you take the tuner and you turn the knob just enough or however far you have to do it so that what you hear comes in clear. Just because you can't hear it coming in clear doesn't mean that there's not frequency passing through. It's not until we tune the radio do we hear clearly. We have to get used to tuning our ears to the truth. Even though I was in the backseat of that cop car, it took me a couple years before I even began to really walk this process out. Even in one of the most defining moments of my life, of being that designated driver, of being encountered by three cop cars and leaning in the backseat of a cop car because I changed and I sacrificed my beliefs. It would take me time before I even began to walk out this process of who I believe God is, what was I giving my identity to, and who he really was, despite what I felt. This process from moving from feeling to healing matters. It takes time, but we have to begin to lay the foundation for us to heal. If we can't answer these basic questions, we're going to start building on things that are lies, that aren't truths. We can't rush through these because relationship doesn't come through rushing or quick success. It comes through time, consistency, faith, and patience. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I know it's just part one, but I wanted to lay this foundation about who you believe God is. What are you allowing to take your identity? What are you giving your identity to? And I want you to think about who God is, and I want you to search him out, his love, his character, his nature. I'd love for you to come hang out with me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle. Come send me a message today, like right after this episode. Send me a message, and I want to know which question, which part really stuck out to you that you're going to be exploring. If this podcast has inspired you or encouraged you in any way, I'd love for you to also take a moment, just leave a rating and review. It helps the podcast get out there so that other people just like you can find and listen to the messages that God lays on my heart to share with you. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for coming to hang out with me on Instagram because I want to get to know you as a listener, most importantly. As always, challenge the way you think to change the way you live.